did in Spain was amazing. It was the 50-year celebration of Open Bible, like us, Open Bible Spain. It started 51 years ago, and they had this big jubilee. And back in December, I was asked if I wanted to come and speak and be the guest preacher from America at this big conference. And I was like, at first, I told them no. I've never done anything like this. That was a lot of work, and there's a lot of travel, and we have young kids, and there's a lot of things going on and stuff in personal life and then medical things and all this. I said, no. They've said, please reconsider. I reconsidered and asked John if he'd be willing to go. He said, yes. So we go there. My expectation, I didn't know exactly what to expect to, because there was not only a cultural difference in a lot of ways, but there was even a language barrier there as well. So I'm figuring things out as they come. And so John asked me, he goes, hey, how many people do you think are going to be there? I was like, I don't know, maybe like 75, 100 people. I'm not sure. I don't know at this conference. And so we get there, right? We get there. And God's given me a word, and we get there, and they said, oh yeah, we had to cut off registration because we can't fit any more people in the hotel. They had 700 people at the conference, right? And I said, 700? Okay. Right? I thought it was going to be like 100. But hey, praise God. And they had to cut it off because we rented out the entire hotel. And so they didn't have much more room. It was absolutely amazing. So we go, and it's a jubilee. That's what they called it, 50-year jubilee. They gave me a scripture that the whole thing is themed around. And I'm sitting in my office, and I'm praying, God, what is it that you want me to do? So I'm the keynote preacher to open up the entire conference. And then, so that's Friday night. And then Saturday night, I'm to preach to the young ones. It's 14 to 30 years old. And so I have two times, main times, that I'm preaching. And by the way, their service, right? We can never complain. Their service starts at 10:30 p.m. For real, right? They start eating dinner at 8 o'clock. They think, they're like, what? You guys eat at like 6 or 5:30? I was like, yeah. It's like, but what do you do? What do you do before you go to bed in this time? I mean, what do you eat? And I was like, well, snacks, I guess. They couldn't believe it. Like, wow. But they eat really late, and the service goes really late. So usually I got the pulpit about 11:15 p.m. The blessing is I'm a night owl. Praise God. The bad thing is that's 7-hour difference. So I was all messed up. But God did amazing, amazing things. So I'm preaching the first message, and it's a jubilee, right? We're excited and excited for what God is doing, but God gave me a message that said, and these are pastors, church leaders, and church people, right? A lot of leadership. This was a conference for leadership and pastors, and God gave me a word that they're discouraged, they're frustrated, and they're hurting. See, a lot of times I think we think people who speak Spanish, we think Latinos because where we live. These are Europeans. It's different. People in Spain are closed off, right? They're closed off to the gospel. They're hard-hearted, and they're to themselves, and they're very stoic in a lot of ways. Now, the believers and the Christians and the spirit-filled ones are completely different. They're exciting, and they're fun, and they're full of love, right? And I got so many Spanish hugs. It was awesome. But in the streets, nobody even looks at you. You can walk by thousands of people, and maybe one person will look up and even look at you, and then they're probably looking at you and wondering, what are you looking at? So it's totally different. I'm telling you, it's totally different animal. So I'm thinking, okay, they're discouraged, and all these things are going on, and where they're ministering, there's a lot of hard hearts and hurtful things that are going on. And so I'm like, that's the word that God gave me. And then for the young ones, I asked Walter and Virginia. Remember, they used to be part of our family. Some of you have been around a while. I asked Walter. We're still good friends. And so I wrote him on WhatsApp, and I said, hey, what is it that youth need? And they said, just like any youth or anybody, can you preach or teach on identity? So I talked about identity and the lies of the enemy and the lies of the media and the lies of these things and who God says they are and how much God loves them. So that was the second night. But the first night I'm preaching and encouraging them and saying, God is proud of you. You're doing a good work. Even if you don't see it this side of heaven, God is so proud of the work that you are doing. You keep doing it. It's eternal. Don't be discouraged by the numbers or the things that are happening. Be encouraged. I flew 5,000 miles, which is 8,000 kilometers, right? 8,000 kilometers to tell you that God loves you. He's proud of you, and the discouragement's going to leave you, right? And as I'm preaching, they're kind of looking like y'all right now. They're just like, and this is what I think. Man, I have missed it. They're all, I mean, every once in a while you hear a Gloria a Dios or a Alleluia or a Amen, but most of them are like, Loco Gringo, right? Y'all can look that up later if you don't know it. And so I'm like, I'm looking, and I thought, oh my goodness. So then it comes to the end, and the altar call. 300 people come up. And I'm like, I was happy with 20, and 300 come up. And man, did that bless my heart. And I didn't understand until later. They said, that's exactly what we needed. That's exactly the word that the pastors need, because they are discouraged. That's like hitting their head against the wall by sharing the gospel, because there's a religious demon, a heavy, huge, monstrous religious demon in all of Europe. Catholicism, right, is massive there. It's all about what you do and not who you are. And so when you talk about the freedom of the gospel of Jesus, when you talk about the things that God wants them to know, and the freedom and the glory and the grace and the love of God, it's like hitting a brick wall. So they were so encouraged by that. And I was like, thank God, right? And we ministered, and Pastor John helped me, and we prayed for 300 people. Just prophesied, gave words, and prayed, and whatever God wanted to do until 1:30 in the morning. Amen. And amen. Then the next day comes, the conference is powerful, there's multiple speakers, the word is going out, there's so many testimonies and recognitions and what God has done. What's really cool, side note, is the lady that planted this 50 years ago, her name is Margaret Smith, and she planted the first Open Bible Church in the 70s, 51 years ago. She was there, and the very first night we were in the hotel, we got the honor of eating with her. I didn't even know who she was at the time, but now I do. We got to eat with her and her daughter. They live in Colorado now, and her husband, who helped pioneer that church and pioneer Open Bible in the country of Spain, we got to eat with them, and it was wonderful. She was just telling story after story. She's 91 years old, and it was like talking to a 35-year-old. She remembered every detail of everything. It was incredible, and we just sat there. The bad thing is, and I have to confess, is I was like, I can't hear another story. I am going to pass out. I am so tired, right? We traveled all day, and I'm like, you got to honor this lady. You got to honor this lady, and then I just kept it, you know, inching more and more, and then finally I'm standing up. Hey, we got to go. But it was absolutely incredible. So she actually sat by us in the entire conference. So then the next day, Saturday, lots of different things happening. Saturday night is like the young night, right? 14 teenagers through 30 years old. And there was about 200 that showed up. And from the jump, right from the get-go, it was just insane. The power of God, the expectation. They were doing this march. They were running around. A whole bunch of youth. Now, these people live in all different towns. They don't really even know each other. They're holding hands and crying. It's like youth camp, right? I was a youth pastor. It's like a youth camp, and they're just crying, and they're praising God, and they're holding hands, and I'm holding people's hands, and I'm crying and praising God too, and I don't even know what they're saying, but man, was it amazing. And no comprende, no comprende. Hallelujah. Means I don't understand, right? But I was worshiping God anyway. And so, but the expectation was incredible. And I said, you know what? I might never come back. I'm giving it all. So I just laid it all out, preaching. And I did so much better with the translator the second night. And then the altar call, and 100 kids came up, and we were prophesying, and we're giving words, and we were speaking to them. And then there came a time where that part went out, and then kids came up one by one or two by two, and they wanted specific prayers. And I'll remember this one, and I'll tell you, and then I got to get to the word. It is this one girl, real beautiful, beautiful girl. She was tall. You know, I'm 6'1". She was probably about this tall. She must have been about 5'10 or so. She's pretty tall and real pretty young girl. She comes up, and I said to my translator, what does she need prayer for? And all she said was, I just want to stop hurting. And she just started bawling. And all I did was grab her and hugged her. I said absolutely nothing. And she wept for about 5 minutes, just wept and wept and wept and wept. And then I felt this releasing. And then I put her right in front of me again. I said, ask her, does she feel that? She said, yes. The Father just took so much, right? Sometimes you don't have to say all that. Sometimes we get praying and we just pray, 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 pray. And we think all these prayers and all these words are going to do it. Sometimes people just need a hug. They need a touch. They need the love of the Father. And then she was released, and you could see the joy of the Lord coming back on her. I don't even know what she faced. I don't even know the problems she has in her life. And it doesn't matter. I don't need to know. God knows. God cared, and he showed up. And that happened one after another after another. It was absolutely amazing until 2:30 in the morning. And it was amazing. At 2:30, okay, 2:30, they said, hey, pastor, here's the last one. And then we're praying for the last one. And then my feet, my dogs are barking, my toes are screaming. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need insoles, right? And I'm just like, oh, praise God, right? And they said, that's the last one. And you know, if you've ever ministered and you just empty yourself out, that feeling is so exciting that you know you left it all. You left it all. You did everything you felt like you could do. And so I did that, and it was so amazing. It made me cry. There was a group of kids that stuck around. Most people went back. How many do you think? 25-ish? 25 were sitting back here. I didn't even see because I'm just focused on the one. As soon as we're done praying, they stood up and they started clapping. They were so excited for what God did. Just pointed to the heavens. We're all crying. And they were just so excited that God showed up. God did amazing things and God healed them. And they all got words. And I could barely understand them, and they could barely understand me, but God ministered. John has, we could go on and on. We had divine appointments. We're eating breakfast, and we're praying for people. And this lady that doesn't speak any English, she starts praying in tongues. She starts crying in tongues. Then she starts singing in tongues. And we prayed for her knees, right? John prayed for her knees, and I just laid hands on them. And we just prayed for this lady. We don't even really knew who she was. She was a friend of a friend's friend. And so we're praying for this lady. And right there, right, in our restaurants, people would be like, okay, you know, those are Christians, whatever. No, that never happens in Spain, right? So from what I understand. And so that, I mean, we just have so many divine appointments. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for everything. God did amazing things, and they're encouraged. And Open Bible, I believe Open Bible in Spain is going to feel the anointing, the presence, and the power, and the Holy Ghost is going to pour out in a supernatural way. I prophesied this to them, and there's going to be a wave of revival. There's going to be religious demons are going to fall. They're going to shatter, and they're going to run, and the Spirit of God is going to move in a mighty way. You just wait and see. You're going to see in Europe, there's going to be a wave of revival. I believe it. I believe it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's get in the Word. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. We're in a new series. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Thank you, Ross, for kicking off our series. There you are. For our series, Fear Not, Understanding the Times. I'm not going to read all of the beginning part, but here is the main verse for this theme this month. It's John 16:33. Have I told you all this so you may have peace in me? Here on earth, church, you will have many trials and you will have sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world. Fear not, understand the times. Amen? All right, let's get in God's Word, the Bible. It's not only a story of humanity's redemption and God's perfect love, it is also the perfect book that is full of the prophetic. The prophetic. If you want to open to Matthew 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. It is the accounts that Matthew walked with Jesus, and he wrote down things of the 3.5 years that Jesus did, and they align with the other Gospels, a lot of them. What's cool is sometimes you wonder, why does that Gospel say the same story, but it's a little bit different? Well, if you and I saw the same situation and we wrote it down, it'd be very similar, but it'd be a little bit different, right? Different perspectives. Same story, different perspectives. So Matthew is the first book, and we're going to be in chapter 12 in just a moment. But see, God's perfect book is prophetic. The definition of prophetic is this, accurately describing or predicting what will happen in the future. God's Bible, His Word to us, what we read and what is available to us in multiple stores, even in Barnes & Noble that does not love God at all, it's even there. It's prophetic. It accurately describes or predicts what will happen in the future. There's around 1,000 prophecies that appear in the pages of the Bible. That's 27%. One-fourth of the entire Bible is prophetic. Numerous books in the Old Testament contain prophecy. The New Testament, almost every single book in the New Testament has some sort of prophecy. And then the last book of the Bible is completely prophetic in the vision. It's called what? Revelation. It is a hard book to read, but just read it slow. Ask God. Get into commentaries. Dig it out, right? Don't just read it like it's nothing. You're like, I don't get it, and just throw it away, right? There's good things in there that you need to know. Otherwise, God wouldn't have provided it in God's Word. The Bible is unique among religious books because of its prophecy. There's absolutely no emphasis of predictive prophecy in the Quran or even in the Hindu Vedas, for example. Nothing. Nothing prophetic. I want to real quick link last month's theme, Jonah, and this Jonah and the grace that is greater, and then this month's theme. Okay, Matthew 12. I'm going to start in verse 38, and I'm going to read through 42. One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to show us miraculous signs to prove your authority." But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." Verse 41. "The people of Nineveh will stand up against the generation on judgment day and condemn it. For they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent." Verse 42, "The queen of Sheba will also stand up against the generation on judgment day and condemn it. For she came a far distance in a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen." Listen, in this series and in your life, you must not be like the religious people of Jesus' time. Do not refuse to repent. Do not refuse to see the signs of the times that you are living in. Amen? Amen? These Pharisees were asking Jesus for more miraculous signs. "We want more." But they were not being sincere to Jesus. They wanted more because of their unfaithfulness to God, and that drove them for more. Now, Jonah brought a word to a large city. If you were here last month, you remember that. This large city, non-believing, everybody was heathens, everybody was evil, there was terrible things taking place. But Jonah brought a word and they all repented, 120 plus. Another pagan queen, she sought after the wisdom of the Lord and found Solomon. She recognized God through that sign. See, many Gentiles recognize the truth about God when it's presented to them. This is unlike the religious leaders in this text we just read who ignored the truth even though it was staring them right in the face. Amen. So what did Jesus do? What did the Savior of the world do? He prophesied. You got your thinking caps on today? Do one of these. Okay. There it is. Jesus prophesied. He prophesied of his own death, and he prophesied of his own resurrection, and it was the same time frame that Jonah and the big fish happened. 3 days and three nights. And church, his second return will be like this as well. The world will be full of sin, and many of the religious people will not recognize the time that they're even living in. The Bible repeatedly points to fulfilled prophecy as direct proof that Yahweh is the real God and he still speaks to his people through his word. I know you heard this in church, but I'm going to say it again, and I wish I could sit next to you right now, right? And I'm going to sit next to somebody actually and tell them, amen. You want it too bad, so it ain't happening. I'm going to sit by somebody here today. Hey, scoot on over, brother. Church, you have to read your word. You got to read your word. I know you've heard it a million times and you still don't read your word. You will never, ever know what is going on, ever, if you don't read your word. You won't know who you are in God. You won't know what God is doing. You won't know what God wants to do if you don't read his word. But in his word are all the answers to anything you deal with. And all in his word is the signs of the times. Amen? Amen. What you going to do tonight?
Read the word.
Say it here.
Read the word.
Hey! Come on now. Amen. Amen. You got to read the word. I know you heard it before. And if you don't understand it, get with somebody that does. Wow. Like discipleship or something weird. Go into all the world, preach the good news, and make disciples of all nations. Crazy. We should probably do that here. Amen?
Amen.
See, this is what God's word says. See, God still speaks to his people through his word. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the things I have done in the past. God's talking. For I alone am God. I am God, and there's none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The only one who can foretell the future is the one that controls it. Amen. Fear not, church, by understanding the times that you live in. Amen? I want to tell you this. Understanding end time prophecy will comfort you. Amen. It won't make you fear. Quit being afraid. See, a lot of times if we don't understand things, we get afraid or we mock it or whatever, right? That happens. This happened when I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues and seeing things that happen in my life. There's people that mock that, make fun of it because they don't understand it. They don't understand it. But that doesn't mean it's not real. So a lot of times, you know, end time prophecy is hard because you got the fanatics that are like crazy and like they're just prophesying all the time and everything's going to end all the time, right? You know, we saw this in COVID and Trump is going to be the next president. 88 reasons why in 1988, Jesus coming back. And I said this before, not a bestseller anymore. But then you got the people that don't do anything at all and all they do is hunker down and they just want... I just want the love of God all the time. Oh, I sound like Mickey Mouse. Oh, I love you, Minnie. Right? I don't know how I went that way, but it sounded weird. Okay. Anyway. Oh, gee golly, guys. I know I do voices. Okay. Now you know something about me. Okay. Ask me to do Smeagol later. I'm really good at that. From Lord of the Rings. Smeagol needs set free. Hallelujah. Gollum out in the name of Jesus. Anyway, so... Some of y'all don't get it. You're not nerdy enough, but ask me later. But some people just want to put their head in the sand. They don't want to know anything. And then some people, that's all they do, and they never tell anybody about the gospel. And some people, God is the God of balance. Spirit and truth. He wants us to be in the middle. If you understand end time prophecy, you should be one of the greatest evangelists anyone has ever seen. Because you know the times you're in, and you need to tell people not only about the time that you're in, but you tell people about the love of God that will set them free. Amen. Right? You have to be in the middle, but you can't be one or the other, and that's all you are. You got to be a balanced Christian because God is balanced. Okay? So we're going to get into God's word. I'm going to lean more over here today because if I'm going to be honest with you, this is where I've lived for a long time. And I've been studying a lot, listening to sermons, and getting into God's word. And I'm over here today. I'm going to teach some more today about the times we're actually living in and some prophecies that have already taken place, okay? And I won't go too far or too long. Oh, I got some time. Hallelujah. But I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach, actually. But I'm going to teach loud, so I'm going to call it preaching. Hallelujah. Every once in a while, if I yell, shout, and do one of these, then I feel like I'm not teaching. I'm preaching because I like to preach. Amen. Church, do not fear, but you must understand the times you are living in. When you understand end time prophecy, it's going to comfort you. It won't make you fear. Church is going to make you faithful. Amen. Isn't that cool? Like, can you, wouldn't it be cool? You're like reading God's word and you're like, wow, that's happening right now. Does that stir your faith or make you afraid? That stirs my faith. Woo, God, your word is true. Another testimony to it. Another example of it. Are you kidding me? You're amazing, right? I'm seeing it right now. This is great. God is so good to us, and that he not only sent his son 2,000 years ago to heal us, redeem us, set us free, set us apart. The Father is also sending his son back to us again. See, God knows the future, and he's shared the future with us in his word. What are you going to do today? I'm going to read the word. The word. Amen. You said it. Don't you make yourself a liar now. You better do it. Hallelujah. Hold them accountable, Lord. God's word's good. Church is good. Around 500 prophecies in the Bible have already been fulfilled. There's still more prophecies to be fulfilled before Christ returns. But let me tell you, it's much closer. It's much closer. The time we're living in is the most prophesied time that's ever been talked about in the Bible. The most significant truth about Bible prophecy is this one thing. What do you think it is? The most prophesied thing about in the Bible is this one thing. It's the return of Jesus. That's number one. It's the most significant truth about Bible prophecy is the return of Jesus. Now, his mission was told about 329 times in the Bible. That's the second most referred to doctrine in the entire Bible. Right? Isn't that crazy? I did some studying this last couple weeks. I did studying before I left, and then I sat in my office like this. I mean, I was, woo! Jet lag ain't no joke, man. My goodness. See, the New Testament has 260 chapters. And one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament refers to Christ's return. You ever bought a car before, and then you drive around, you see your car everywhere? This is what I pray for you right now. Okay? I'm going to say it again. One out of every 30 verses in the New Testament refers to Christ's return. Next time you read the New Testament, it's going to pop out like those cars you see everywhere. Christ's return, Christ's return. Look at that, Christ's return. Oh, Christ's return, look at that. I like their color better. I wish I would have got that color. Those rims are sweet. Okay, anyway. Fear not, church, understand the times. Here's what I believe God wants to do for us today through the preaching of his word. It's to stir your heart and make you understand more of the times that you're living in. Amen? So right now, let's talk about just a few prophecies that have already been fulfilled. Okay? Many believe, as I believe as well, the rapture is going to happen before the seven-year terrible tribulation. Now, there's pre, mid, and post, and I'm not going to land on that too long. I'm just going to tell you what I believe, because the Bible doesn't tell you exactly. But I believe most of the signs point to pre-trib, personally. This is my personal opinion, not the Bible. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible. There's a difference between the Bible and my personal opinion, as I hope there is for you in your life as well. But I personally believe in that. I believe the rapture will happen before the seven-year tribulation. Jesus will come at the end of the tribulation, and the church will return with Jesus. And here's one of the major signs is this. All the nations will come against Israel. All the nations will come against Jerusalem. I'm going to say it from the pulpit. Hamas is the enemy, not Israel. Okay? Hamas. They torture and kill. Amen. I'm going here for a second. I don't understand these campuses that are saying. Anybody like logic? Here, let's do a little logic, because apparently these brilliant minds don't have logic. You book smart, but your street smart is whack. You are out of whack, okay? For instance, all the females, however you identify, whatever they, you know, what they do. Females. The females in the colleges. You want to stand with Hamas, who would make you basically a slave if they took over this nation? They don't respect you as a female. They think that you're less than. Why would you even stand with them and say, yeah, Israel's the enemy? They don't even care for you. Okay? Does that make logic sense? No, it doesn't. That's what blew my mind. I'm like, why are they even saying, Hamas, you know, we stand with Palestine. Palestine hates women. You have to stand behind. You can't even stand next to. Do some research, church. Do some research. Look it up. Okay? Amen? Man, I'm just going for it, aren't I? Amen. Why not? Anything else you guys want me to talk about real quick? Yeah. Man, I need to stretch because I'm going to have to run after church. Some of y'all going to get me. Okay. All right. Or you just walk with me later, okay? That's my bouncer. That's my... Amen. Amen. He got me. You're not mad at me right now, right? Okay. Check with that first, then pick your bouncer, okay? Amen. All right, let's get in it. Let's get in. Let's talk about just a couple. Maybe I'll bring some more up next week because I don't want to hold you here too long. But here we go. We got a good time here. All right. Church, these are exciting and incredible times we live in. Amen. They are. They are. They are scary. There's bad things happening. But I want to remind you, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, there was really bad things happening then too. Do you remember? Do you remember the Jews were actually slaves. They were enslaved. Not only were they were enslaved by pagan people who tried to make them worship their own pagan stuff. It happened throughout history, right? A lot of evil things happened, a lot of sacrifice. You read in the Old Testament too, babies being sacrificed, orgies happening, people, homosexuality was rampant in a lot of places. And we think it's like this new thing. Oh, I can't believe the things that happened. Yeah, they're wrong, but it's not the first time, right? History cycles itself until Christ comes and says, enough, all y'all evil, right? He's going to just... I wrapped up a lot of revelation for you there. You're welcome. Still got to read it. Hallelujah. Pour out this, and then, woo, bad stuff happening, and slice, you're dead. Okay. New heaven, new earth. Hallelujah. Okay. That's a very high level. I'm moving on. But these are exciting times. Don't be afraid with what God is doing on the earth, right? The enemy comes. Light always shines brightest when it's darker, okay? Like if I turn on a flashlight right now, you'd be like, eh, whatever. But if I wait till midnight and I go in the middle of the parking lot and I flash that light, woo, it illuminates. You are the light of the world. And right now there's darkness all around you, but are you shining? Are you shining? Are you shining, right? Salt of the earth. It not only brings flavor, but it preserves. Come on now. You need to be, older people, you need to be the salt because you got to preserve the generations below you. Come on now, that's from God. You need to start preserving the generations below you by preaching the gospel and telling us things like Miss Pam said this morning about this is what God has done and this is the belief and the vision that I have that God is going to do. And let me tell you about how God stretched my faith, right? Tell that to the generations. Start being the salt of the earth and start preserving God's ways. Amen? That's good. Amen. Anybody ever preach for it and you like preach, you're like, wow, that's good. You feel like you're like out of your own body. You're like, woo, that's good. That was me right there. That was good. See, God loves you. He even uses me. Hallelujah. All right, let's start with a fulfilled end time prophecy that happened in 1948. Okay, Israel was born a second time. 1948. That's a long hair. That's not mine. Okay. Amen. I promise it's going to get better. I'm just playing. They told me they had to go. They had to go. We love you. We love you. Amen. Start with fulfilled end time prophecy that happened in 1948. See, Israel was reborn a second time. A major prophecy was fulfilled in 1948. Let me read it in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 through 12. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time and bring back the remnant of his people. Those who remain in Assyria and northern Egypt, in southern Egypt, Ethiopia, Elam, and Babylonia, thank you, Hamath. You want to preach? Okay. It's not as easy as it looks. Okay. Hamath and all the distant coastlands. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He will gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. Did you know that Israel is the only nation in history to be displaced twice and then come back together again as a nation? Israel stopped existing twice, then it came back to exist again. That's pretty incredible. Here's the first time. In 579 BC, right? It's not before Christ. It stands for something else. But it's about the time of Jesus. So 579 years before Christ was even born, around that time, right? That early, Israel was conquered by the Babylonians. See, I could have looked down here. Okay. And they were taken out of their homeland to become slaves in Babylon. We read about this in the Old Testament. Then 70 years later, they were able to return to their nation to be reborn for the first time. Okay? Around 500 BC, they were reborn a first time. Okay, then a little less than 40 years after Jesus was resurrected. So from when Israel was conquered by the Babylonians, about 600 years later, the Romans defeated Israel. This is about 40 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven. The Roman general Titus killed over 1 million Jews. He was like the first Hitler. Then they destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple and then took the rest of the Jews captive. It was at this time the Jews were scattered all over the earth. I didn't ask your permission, but my sister, who was adopted, she wanted to find out kind of her heritage, and she did a swab, and you're how much? 11% Jewish, right? Now, this makes sense why I'm saying this, because all over the world, at this point, Jews went everywhere, right? They went all over. So someone down her lineage was Jewish, who intermarried, and then that's why she's 11% instead of 100 or 50% or whatever it is. They scattered all over the world. Then in 1948, God brought back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem back to the promised land from all over the world. They became an independent nation once again. That's incredible. Here's another prophecy that was fulfilled in that event when Israel was not only a nation a second time, they were also reborn in one day. Isaiah 66, 7 and 8 says this. Before the birth pains even begin, Jerusalem gives birth to a son. Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Right, when the Bible says that, you're like, wow, there's a lot of strange things in the Bible I want to hear. Whoever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin, her children will be born. On May 14th in 1948, a British mandate over Palestine ended, and the leader of Israel declared Israel and their independence. And then our president, U.S. President Harry Truman, recognized Israel as a nation, and then other nations follow us. By the way, even in Spain and Europe, they follow what goes on in America. They do. They come after. So other nations recognize what our own nation did with Harry Truman, recognizing that Israel is now a nation as well. See, the book of Isaiah was written by a prophet named Isaiah. I know. It gets better. But this prophet wrote this book, right, 2,700 years ago. This prophecy that was found in the 66th chapter of Isaiah was fulfilled in 1948. Some of you were alive then. I think the Bible's more amazing than we might give it credit for. Amen? You want a little bit more before we go? Okay, I got a few more pages, but we'll see what happens here. Here's another recent prophecy fulfilled in the Bible. This began long ago. Okay, starting around 40 years after Jesus' resurrection, right, we talked about that, where Rome conquered Israel and the Jews spread all over the world. They were spread out everywhere. Almost 2,000 years later, Israel came back together in 1948 as one nation. Just talked about it. But the Jews didn't govern all of Israel at that time. They didn't own all of Israel. The Jews only had the Western Jerusalem. They didn't have Eastern Jerusalem. Anybody heard of the Six-Day War before? There was a Six-Day War that took place in June of 1967. Israel regained all of the city of Jerusalem. Amen. So it says this in Luke 21, 20 through 24. It says this. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. Those in Jerusalem must get out, and those out of the country should not return to the city. For those will be the days of God's revenge, right? He's getting back the city, and prophetic words of Scripture will be fulfilled. Verse 23, how terrible it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. For there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people. God is going to have, right? It says, God's word says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, right? Quit trying to get at people. Let God do his thing, right? Forgive them. Let God do his thing. Verse 24, they will be killed by the sword or sent away as captives to all the nations of the world. And Jerusalem will be trampled down by Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles come to an end. In June of 1967, Israel regained all the city of Jerusalem. That is so cool. I wrote that. That is so cool. All right. I'm going to start this, and I'm going to talk about some other things next week. But I want to end with this prophecy, okay, that's been fulfilled. Okay, here's the last one for today. We'll do some more next week. I might even talk about things that are going on right now that you might believe that are not biblical, okay? I want to say this. You either have a worldly mindset and a worldview, a secular worldview, or you have a biblical worldview, okay? Some of you Christians, you have a secular worldview, and we're going to squash some things. You're going to be like, oh, why did I believe that? Ugh! Well, it's because God's still purifying you. That's okay. But faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And so we're going to talk about some things next week that might be like, oh, man. And maybe you're going to disagree with me. That's right. It's fine. You're coming next week, right? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. Good. That's good. You keep sitting in the front, brother. Amen. See, a lot of preachers, they don't want to preach on anything like this. But you know what? God's word says, I'm going to be judged greater than you. So why would I not, right? I don't want to go to heaven and then get judged from God because I didn't do what he wanted me to do because I was afraid of what you would say, right? I can tickle your ears all day long and build a mega church. But what good is that if everybody's going to go to hell, including maybe me? I ain't doing that. The full counsel of God. If all you're doing is landing on one thing, you are not doing the full counsel of God. God doesn't stay in one lane, right? You got to be all about it. Amen? You might bend toward one and might be great at that, but you got to be rounded in your beliefs. Amen? So that's why we're preaching today or teaching today about this. You want the last one for today before we go? Okay. The rest of you. Go on. See you next week. Amen. It's going to be a good one. You're going to miss out, so whatever. Here's the last one. It's called this, the great falling away. Okay? It's falling away from what? Biblical Christianity. And the Bible even teaches that only half of the churches will be ready for his return. Half the brides are going to be ready for the bridegroom. Let's get into this real quick before I close, and then I'll bring you up in a second, Brent, to help us close. Okay, some background first to the New Testament book written to the Thessalonians, right? That's a weird word. That's a people. What are we called here in Cedar Rapids? Cedar Rapioians? Cedar. I can't understand everybody talking at different times. Okay, you know, so good. It's as if Paul wrote that letter to you, and that's what it was titled, okay? So, like, sometimes we read these things, we're like, oh, what does that mean, right? You know, the Ephesians book. Yeah, it's written to a people that lived in that area. It's a church. So Thessalonians, these Thessalonians, they lived in this area, and they were a people, they were a church like us that Paul was writing to. And so he writes these letters, and the Thessalonians, they're people from an ancient city, and they worship Jesus. They're believers. Now, this city heard a rumor that the rapture had already happened, and they missed it. Every once in a while, I joke about that. It's like, hey, honey, where are you? Ah, I missed the rapture again. I'm just joking. It only happens once, okay? But these people heard a rumor, and they said, man, we've missed the rapture, and now they're living in the tribulation, and they're worried. So Paul wrote a second letter to the Thessalonians. There's number one, and then there's number two. These represent letters. Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament, and he wrote this letter. So we're going to be in the second book of Thessalonians. It's toward the end of your Bible. He writes this letter, and this is why Paul writes it, right? Just like a good leader, they're going to help clear some things up. That's what he wanted to do. Let this church body know that they did not miss the rapture. Church, I want you to know you didn't miss the rapture, okay? Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened. Praise God. But that was left behind. I almost said a funny thing, but it'd take us way down another path. Okay, so this letter was specifically written to comfort people and let them know that there are some very important events that must take place first before Christ would come again. And I believe a lot of this has already begun right now, and we're seeing this before our very eyes right now. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the big number. We're going to start in the little number, which is number 1 at the very beginning of that second chapter. I'm going to read 1 through 4. It says this. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things. Thank you, Brother Paul. About the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say the day of the Lord has already begun, right? 88 reasons in 1980. Okay. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Verse 3. Don't be fooled by what they say, for the day will not come until there, right? So we're going to know the day that's going to come. He's telling us right now. He got revelation from the Holy Spirit 2,000 years later. We are reading it right now for this letter that was written to the Thessalonian church that now is written to the Cedar church here, okay? Verse 3, don't be fooled by what they say, for the day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness, which means sin, is revealed. The one who will bring destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. The rapture cannot happen until the great falling away happens first. All right, there's a word called apostasy. Anybody heard of it before? It's not an Italian dish. Okay. I'd have some apostasy. Hey, apostasy. Hey, okay. Some of y'all, this is my brain. Okay. This is what apostasy means. It means the abandonment of a religious or political belief. It's the abandonment of religious beliefs. You once believed and now you don't. You've stepped away from the faith. See, the great falling away or the great apostasy is when the world starts falling away from traditional biblical morals and Christian beliefs. Now, many of you in here remember a time when you prayed in Jesus' name at your public school. And you remember at your public school there was the Ten Commandments somewhere at your school. You remember at some point in time when the Supreme Court voted and took the Ten Commandments out of every school, and then they took prayer and they took God Almighty out with it all. That wasn't too long ago. Raise your hand if you remember praying at school. I'm sorry, public school. Now we have this. Supreme Court takes out these things. Now we have schools trying to control our kids, telling parents what they can and cannot do with their own children. We have schools, many places, where kids no longer even know what's going on with their own students, with their own children. Transgender sex changes, brutal violence, drugs, and murder on the rampage. And we wonder why. We've erased God from our American culture, and we've fallen away from our Judeo, there it is, Christian values and standards that we publicly and proudly used to hold. In the honor of tolerance, now, you think this is just happening bad in America? You know, church, it's happening all over the world. And it's happening even in whole continents like Europe. Am I saying we give up, hunker down, and wait for the end to come, right? Absolutely not. That'd go against God's own words. Get on school boards, get in politics, get in public leadership, preach the saving grace of Jesus Christ every day of your life. Church, you got to understand the times and you got to get involved. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations, and you can start in the United States of America because we need it. But as a whole, we are seeing the great falling away. Jesus prophesied in Matthew 25 that the great falling away would even happen in the churches. Half of the believers in every church will fall away from God. They won't even know. They won't even be expecting the bridegroom. Half the believers will be so worldly. You wonder, well, how can that church believe that? It's been prophesied. Jesus prophesied. Half the believers will be so worldly in church, so out of touch with Jesus, they won't be ready for his return because they won't even know him anymore. Church, they will be left behind. Come on now. Brent, you can come on up. I'm going to finish up here. But I also believe in the end time harvest. I believe a great harvest is coming. I believe there's a great outpouring of the Spirit. I believe there's going to be thousands upon millions, maybe even billions coming to Jesus Christ. I believe in a great end time harvest. I do. I have an evangelistic heart. I have no problem. John, if he was here, he'd tell you. He says, I'm friendly. But Pastor Harris is another level. I talk to anybody and everybody who spoke English. I was like, everybody's like, oh, come on. And I was like, oh, English, hey, what's up? And then I just met a conversation. You got to share the gospel everywhere that you go and everything that you do. You got to ask God for certain things in your life. Ask for favor with man. Ask with favor in God doing things in your life. Because you know what? There's a great end time harvest coming. And I want to be part of the remnant that ushers that in. I want to be part of that. Amen? Here it is. It's even labeled conclusion. This is just a small current glimpse of what God is doing and what he's done in recent past. These prophecies have been fulfilled, and they've been fulfilled to show us that he is the true God. Who you serve on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and at your home, who you pray to, the worship music that you listen to, the things that you get into his word and you read, he is the real God. He's the real God. It even says in his word he's the real God, right? He's proving himself through himself. Amen. But he says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, it says this, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there's none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Church, do not fear, but understand the times you are living in. Amen. I pray this morning it stirred your heart. Is your heart a little bit more stirred to say, you know what, I need to get in God's word. There's 500, maybe more prophecies to happen. 400, 300, I don't even know exactly how many more prophecies need to happen before Jesus comes, but they're dropping like flies right now. I want to know about it. Church, will you stand, please? It's getting closer. The rapture is getting close. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Even if you are killed for your faith, the Bible says that you have gained. You've gained. You've gained. Before we go today, I want to say these Christ-comforting words once more over you. It's this. Amen. Only a little bit over. John 16, 33. I have told you all of this. I have told you all of this. Church, I have told you all this because I believe God wanted you to hear this. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in Jesus. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and you'll have many sorrows, but take heart because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Let's pray, church. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. You're a good God. Thank you for your word. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who reveals his word to us. God, I pray that each and every person this week and the ones praying tonight and the ones reading tonight, the ones getting in your word, God, bring revelation to their heart, their mind, and their soul. God, we pray for a great outpouring in these days, but not only your spirit, we need your truth. God, I thank you for your word, for it is truth. Your inerrant word is truth. I thank you for the revelation. I thank you for the times that we're living in. God, you could have had us be born at any time in history, but for some reason you chose now. So I pray that right now everybody gets revelation. Why were you born now? Find that revelation, find that calling, and run. Run your race to receive your prize in Christ Jesus. God, I thank you for your word. It's so good. I thank you, too, for next week and all the things that you're going to do. I thank you for Wednesday, as well as we get into the word again. God, may you go with us. And if you won't go with us, we're going to stay until you do. We love you so much, and we praise you in Jesus' name. What do we say?
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship one more time.
I will.